The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Is it gonna happen or what?
Snow?
No.
Snow?
No, it's not even close to snow here. It's
60 degrees outside.
Don't. Too close. Jen, it's November.
Yeah, and it's 60 degrees outside. I have a t-shirt on.
It'll snow in November, though. Well, guaranteed.
Maybe. What do we got? 28 days left.
Yeah, we've got some time to figure this out.
30 days has September, April, June, and November. What is today, the 5th?
Yeah.
So maybe a few less, 25.
Yeah, we got 3 weeks.
No.
Till snow?
What, you think he's a meteorologist all of a sudden?
The hell's your obsession with snow suddenly?
Well, that I know what it is. He's there.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yep.
There Bingo. Is only better if it snows here.
I'm a certain partner.
But he's going to be back
there
here.
I was just going to say.
But he's going to be back here next week.
Well, he hopes it snows after then. Right? You
don't want I don't know. Snow. I could go for a little snow.
Well, do you miss it? Because that was one of your old jobs. You used to plow all the lots for golfs.
Used to love that job. Great job.
In a shocking development, I was not talking about snow or any other weather phenomenon, you bozos.
El Nino.
Okay.
La Nina, excuse me.
Thank you. Show some respect. I'm talking about the NFL trade deadline and if the Green Bay Packers are going to make a move or not. Trade deadline is today at 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's how that works. And there has been hope, I guess would be the most accurate way of describing it, that the Packers would make a move, that the league in general, and this is not hope, this is a reality, the league in general is now seeing the trade deadline as a way to get better. Teams that are in contention are using it to bolster spots where they have deficiencies. And you've seen it from a lot of the teams that are atop the power rankings for all the scoffing that our friend Adam Schefter does at power rankings. So the Green Bay Packers, who hope to be in that upper echelon of teams in the NFL, have an opportunity here, Chew, to make themselves better. Do you think they will?
Like a big splash, like trading a first-round pick to go get someone?
I don't even think it needs to be that dramatic.
Just a move. Will they make a single move?
They may make a move.
A person.
But they're not going to make a splash. And I believe, this is what I believe, especially after watching Sunday's game. I think Goody believes, or he's hoping that this team gets hot again like last year. And I think he believes that, yes, we have some lottery balls in the big plastic see-through cylinder to win it all. But deep down, I still think he believes they're a year away.
You believe they're a
That's
year away.
That's what I believe.
Right? After yesterday's game. Yeah. Sunday's game.
I said
game.
That even going back to the preseason and all that. Yeah, I think they're a year away. Obviously, the defensive line, which we talked about a lot, is a huge, huge deficiency, and that's just a position you don't want to be deficient at.
But if there are players that are available, like significant enough players, I don't know how many of these guys would actually just be rentals. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't think they, even
if they go get someone, I think there's a very good chance that someone is on the team in 2025 as well.
I agree, but is there a defensive end that is on the trade block that's really not a rental?
I'm saying
other than Garrett and Crosby, the rest are like they're not getting Za'Darius Smith.
Correct.
Right.
Well, who is one of the hot ones out there that he will be going to Detroit?
Yes, and then was it Rob that said yesterday they're looking at corner?
Yeah.
I mean. All right, let me ask you guys this, because Lattimore's name's out there. Does corner improve this team to the point where they're going to be a top five team?
Doesn't hurt. But any corner, so Rob brought up the name yesterday of Greg Newsome from Cleveland. And then there's an article out there today from Bill Huber saying, hey, go get Marshawn Lattimore. The Saints fired their head coach yesterday. They're 2-7 in a tailspin. in a world of hurt and salary cap, go get that guy. And either one of those corners, Chew, they make you better this year, but they also make you better for next year because both are still under contract for 2025.
But what's it going to take, Gabe?
I have no idea. I mean, in the terms of Lattimore, my guess is you could probably get him for less than he's worth because of how much salary cap trouble. Like, they're the only team. The Saints are the only team in the league that figured out that the salary cap isn't real.
Sure, Gabe, but the Packers are not going to be the only team looking for his services, which is going to drive up the price. I'm not giving a first-round pick for Marshawn Lattimore at 28 years old.
The other name that I saw out there, and it doesn't have connections to the Packers right now, but from a cornerback standpoint, Josina Anderson reporting that Emmanuel Forbes is a 2023 first-round pick for the Commanders, and he is garnering interest around the league as well.
I don't know much about Forbes, but if a 7-2 team is ready and willing to trade you away, I think I'm good.
Not the best endorsement, I feel like.
There. Like they're leading their division. They're looking to do some things. If he was a good enough player, he would be playing for them.
One interception this year in 5 starts just for Forbes. So are we pivoting then to cornerback? I understand that that's what Rob said yesterday on the show. If you miss any of his appearance here or on any show on ESPN Milwaukee, you can always find it on Wisconsin On Demand. But I feel like if the pass rush were better, you're not putting as much pressure on the secondary, on the corners, and maybe then you can make do with the guys that you have, who have not, by any stretch of the imagination, been lousy. They've not been bad. It would just be an upgrade, you're saying, to go out and get someone, and I guess that's what Rob is saying as well.
Yeah, it would be an upgrade. It would make your team better, because... I mean, if we're going to be frank about the situation right now for the Green Bay Packers and the pass rush department, I don't know how you improve it, even during the offseason. It's not like, oh, yeah, Max Crosby is going to be a free agent. No.
No, they have to nail it in the draft.
Yeah, but we're expecting them to be a playoff team, correct?
So the draft pick is going to be low in the first round.
It's going to be low in the first round. And when you start taking a look at like the best pass rushers in the NFL, most of them are taken in the first half of the first round. And the Packers just aren't going to be that high. They had their opportunities with Gary and Van Ness when they were that high, and those haven't panned out for them.
So are you going to roll it back like the Bucs, who are 1-6?
There it is, 7-0, 8-50 change.
Chewy, you try to improve it, but if there's nobody out there, because pass rush is incredibly hard and difficult to find.
Yeah, but you can still trade in the offseason. I mean, that happens.
Sure, but like, who are you going to trade for?
I know, but Gabe, are you going to roll it back? Are you going to say this year was an anomaly? Van Ness is better than that, and Rashawn Gary.
No, I mean,
is
I'm going to try to improve the position. I just don't think that you're going to improve the position with the studs that we talk about. Like those guys
don't.
You know what I'm saying? Like those guys, you might be able to give me a grade on the periphery.
Okay, give me a grade on the front four 9 games in.
D minus.
Oof.
D minus. I can live with a B minus. I don't need an A, but I need a D line that is a B minus, not a D minus. Because your D line, look, I'll go back to Ron, and I know it was a year, but his philosophy was 2 good corners and a hell of a defensive line, which we had.
Mm-hmm.
Which we had. Right? And the good teams in this league, Gabe, create pressure with 4.
Yep.
We cannot do that.
Couldn't agree more.
We can't do that.
So, right now, your defensive line players. Devontae Wyatt has 3 sacks. Preston Smith has 2.5. Rashawn Gary has 2.5. Agbaje has 1.5. Carl Brooks has 1.5. And that's it. And then Aaron Mosby had his 0.5 sack. That's what you're
and
looking
then
at.
Where does that rank league-wide? I know, Joshy, you're probably already on it. But I would think that's bottom third, right?
Look, I mean, they had the 8 sack performance against Tennessee, which is going to kind of inflate those numbers.
Yeah.
So,
thing is, they get a decent amount of sacks for a team that isn't creating pressure with their defensive line. And that's Jeff Hafley that's doing all that.
Yep.
So, here's my issue, guys. Okay, I think this is an absolutely legitimate concern. I think this is something that we think is going to rear its ugly head at some point. But in the game on Sunday, that was not the issue. It was the drops. It was the penalties. It was botched snaps. Mm-hmm. It was the, you know what I'm saying? Like, none of the issues that showed up on Sunday and led to their loss to the Detroit Lions were because of the defensive line. Now, you could tell me, oh, Jared Goff was so clean. He had a clean pocket and all that stuff. But, like, that's been the case for Jared Goff this whole season. That's not exclusive to the Green Bay Packers. We're not talking about an offensive line that has struggled to protect Jared Goff and then all of a sudden stood firm, stood pat against a woeful defensive line for the Green Bay Packers. That's just who they are. Jared Goff has an incredible completion percentage this season because he's gotten protection from his line and he's been making good passes. So, like, how do you address – is it as simple as addressing the issues that showed up on Sunday – In the week leading up, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. the pass rush was not the issue in the loss on Sunday.
It still was to me. Because you have to be disruptive. You have to find a way to be disruptive. I know they're really good, but really good teams are fun. They find a way to be disruptive and slow down that offense. Because that offense really wasn't slowed down. Yes, they scored less points than they normally do, but that was a product of the game. And the fact that the first quarter was literally two possessions. The Packers had a possession. The Lions had a possession. They scored on three of their first four and made it look very easy in getting up. And then just kind of took their foot off the brake because they knew the Packers couldn't score. So a big part of it's still the defense for me. By the way, it is official. Za'Darius Smith is in Detroit.
Good to know.
Adam Schefter reporting that.
So what's hard for me is Detroit right now is built for domes, right? Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, you're correct in saying that, but they also looked pretty good in the elements. You know,
I know, but Green Bay is typically built for bad weather. We thrive on it. And this isn't just this team.
True.
This goes back
true?
To Rodgers.
True. I don't think that's true.
Yes.
That hasn't been
totally
true.
Totally true.
That hasn't been true since you played.
Yeah. Since we played.
Since Amon Green was a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 20 years ago.
But shouldn't they be built like that? Kind of, because we want that home field advantage. And look, playing in Green Bay and having the bye and having everything go through Green Bay – Should be a huge advantage when you're playing in January and it's 12 degrees out.
Well,
I think
the addition of Josh Jacobs kind of puts you in that direction, right? I mean, that kind of slants it towards, okay, you've got a grinding back, a pounded out back, maybe certainly not as explosive as Aaron Jones, but somebody that can just grind out games, especially when the weather gets bad like it did on Sunday. So
but
maybe
Dave,
they took a step in that direction.
This goes all the way back to Rodgers. You have Tampa Bay coming in here for an NFC Championship game.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A Florida team, and you lose. And you have San Francisco, a West Coast team, coming into Green Bay in crappy weather and winning. And it's just, I don't know. It's frustrating.
All right, I want to get back to the question here. Gabe, I need you to answer before we get to Jason Wilde this morning. Will the Packers make a move today? Does it need to be a substantial, big, splashy move? Could be just a warm body that you think will improve the team. Do they make a move by the 3 p.m. deadline?
History tells me no. I don't think they do. I think they stand pat.
Yeah, I agree.
800-990-3776. We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll, and we will ask Jason Wilde what he thinks. I believe Brian Gutekunst is speaking to the media today as well. Is that right, this afternoon?
Yes, he does after every trade deadline.
So he will be speaking to the media so he can explain why he did or why he didn't add somebody to the Green Bay Packers roster. Jason Wilde is coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Gabe?
From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after, an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less. Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in Six provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep threes from Dame. Catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now, bucks.com/plus or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready? Hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jason Wilde's perspective on all things green and gold. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'll let you know later.
Let's assume that's a trade deadline comment. Do you think the
Packers... Darius Smith is a Lion!
I saw Woo-hoo! That. And Joshy was just filling us in on the compensation. Joshy, what was it again? Four...
It was three separate picks, some in the future, some next year. Fifth, sixth, and seventh are involved. So just kind of a smattering of picks through the next 2 years.
Okay.
So do you think, Jason, that the Green Bay Packers will make a move today? Doesn't have to be a splash move, doesn't have to be a big move, but do you think they will add to their roster by the end of the day?
I don't. Schefter reports that the Lions get Za'Darius Smith and a 2026 seventh round pick. Mm-hmm. And the Browns, for Za'Darius malcontent, get a 2025 fifth and a 2026 sixth. So he's worth more than just a pick swap, which is what happens in a lot of these trades. But the good news is I would think that he would be motivated for them so he can make some more money, because if he's not motivated for more money, he doesn't really do much for you.
Jason, how much would a corner help Green Bay?
I really get a kick out of Eric Stokes' personality. He's a fun guy. I think he's a really good teammate based on some of the interactions I've had with his teammates. People really like his personality. I don't love his play, and I think the Packers are perilously thin there if Jair Alexander has any more injury issues, right? Like, you know, I think Keyshawn Nixon has been an extremely valuable piece this year that he proved to Jeff Hafley and Derek Ansley and the defensive staff that he was. Now he's proven, I'm more than just a returner, I'm a slot guy, I'm more than just a nickel guy, now I can also play outside. Because I think we've seen that Eric Stokes probably not, there's a reason why they didn't pick up the fifth year option. It's not just his injury issues. So if that, to me, what's weird about the trade deadline for the Packers is that I think that is the bigger need. And I could also see them at the other place that I think is a need, which is the defensive line and specifically defensive end. I could see them theoretically trading Preston Smith the way they traded Rasul Douglas, and then opening the door for more young guys to play in hopes of those guys being more productive. Is this, I always forget this, and I haven't looked it up. Is this, it's an even year. Is Preston Smith productive in even years or odd years? Because he's not been productive so far. He's not been impactful so far.
Well, so they signed him for the 2019 season, and I think that's when he was supposed to be productive. I think the odd years is when he's productive.
Mm. So now's the time to make a move then. Get an extra seventh round pick or something.
How funny would it be, though, Jason, if they did make a trade for a cornerback, given that they traded away a cornerback a year ago, and that's where they have some need?
Yeah, I don't know how. I've seen a few Bills games. I don't know how Rasul Douglas has played for them on the whole. I would emphasize again, because look, it's great that last season turned out the way it did, right? It was an awesome ride. All of our, obviously, Gabe, you're a huge Packers fan. It was an unexpected middle of a rebuilding year. They catch fire and they win what, six of their last eight and make the playoffs. But the fact that Goody traded Rasul Douglas when he did, it was proof that, again, he didn't know that the season was going to turn the way it did. And yeah, obviously that's not a position where they feel great. I can't figure out where they're at on Carrington Valentine, right? Like he was in line to be the starter opposite Jair coming out of camp. And then coming into camp, he had a bunch of injuries. We thought maybe they would trade Eric Stokes, frankly, because they were so high on Carrington Valentine. And instead, he's dealt with a bunch of injuries. and hasn't been on the field much.
But,
and Eric Stokes hasn't been very good.
But, Jason, they have a lot of those. Like Wicks. Like Wicks, we thought was going to be battling to be the number one receiver, and he's just been ugh.
Yeah, so did you ever have problems catching the football?
Problems? Not really.
I had
my share of drops. It's concentration. Or you don't have good. Jason, you remember Free. Free would drop the easiest balls in the world and then make the most incredible catches, and you're like, I don't get it, Free. That's a lollipop, and you're making these unbelievable catches.
Yeah, the catch I remember him making was when he was parallel to the ground at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
And you're right, and he was a notorious body catcher, which obviously you're not supposed to do. But also, I mean, tough as nails, right? I mean, played with a broken jaw, wired shut, played with a broken forearm. So, I have not given up on Dontayvion Wicks, but man, oh man. He's one of the best in the league at getting open. But it doesn't matter if you don't hold on to the ball when the ball is thrown to you. So, you know, and then I look at Christian Watson, right? Like, I didn't think Christian Watson had a great day on Sunday either, right? He mistimes his jump on that one downfield ball. Like, this whole idea of all the great wide receivers they have, I still think they have guys that are just teeming with potential. But they need more of those guys to be more consistent and be more reliable than they've shown on that side of the ball, too. So, look, the bottom line is, and LaFleur said this yesterday, like, the bye really does come at a good time for them. But he does the mood around them, because of the way they played and how many mistakes they made and that they lost to the team they're chasing in the division, the mood going into the bye, especially for the coaches. I don't know. Players scatter about the countryside, and I don't know how much they're thinking about how poorly things went on Sunday when they get to their destinations. But the mood is, man, yeah, we're 6-3. It's great. We were 3-6 at this point last year. But we're coming off a game where we were not good enough, and we did not play the way we think we're capable of. And that it's clear that LaFleur is sitting with that, because he was still – in a less than stellar mood yesterday.
Jason, of the issues that showed up on Sunday, the drops, the interception, which has been a chronic thing for Jordan Love this year, and the penalties, what do you think is easiest for them to clean up? Because it feels like one of these, how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time type of thing. So which of these do you think gets cleaned up first, since we know they have to get cleaned up in order for them to reach some of their goals this year?
Is that a real saying?
Eat an elephant?
How do you eat an elephant?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard it before.
Okay. Yeah, I've never heard it.
I'm shocked Chewy hasn't heard it. Chewy's got every saying known to mankind. I think he's got a book somewhere.
Not only that, it sounds like something Chewy might say. I think it's the drops, personally. Like, they had five. I saw somebody gave Bo Melton the drop for the one that he got helmeted in the face mask for, so maybe if you're a tough grader, that's six, but that seems to me to be fixable. And I still think the pre-snap penalties are fixable. They have 30 pre-snap penalties in the first 9 games. That's more than 3 per game. I would think that, you know, I understand that they want to be able to do some things with the cadence. That's another way that Jordan Love has grown, but your guys have to be better at handling that, and that was a real problem. And then, you know, I still can't TJ Slayton, man, like that. Everyone in the building knew that that's what they were doing on that 4th and 5 or 4th and goal from the 5 play, right? Like,
yep.
Literally, everyone, all 78,444 people knew that they were not going to snap the ball there. And then you bowl over the center, so then it's 4th and goal from the 2. And he admitted after the game, I don't know if you guys saw this, he admitted that he was guessing the snap count. What? Well, you guessed wrong. So don't do that, would be my advice.
Jason, is it just as simple as Detroit right now is a better team? I mean, every time we'd go into Dallas and it would get closer and closer and closer and we would compete more and more with them, it came down to that, look, they're just better than us right now. Is it that simple?
I agree with your assessment of that, of them back then with your teams, and then eventually you were better than them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm willing to say that the Lions are better. Like, I just, you know, LaFleur kept talking about how much cleaner they played. Now, have you guys seen this clip of the one, the defender who's like twisting Jordan Love's ankle after he tackles him? So they both played cleaner and dirtier in the same game, the Lions did. But I don't, like, I don't think that's true, Chu. Like, I just, like, I said this to Jordan Love. His line about how I still think we've got a really, really good football team. And I said, do really good teams make as many mistakes as you guys did, right? I mean, drops, snaps, penalties. Like, are they a good football team that right now is doing stupid things to derail themselves? Or are they a bad football team and those are symptoms of a bad football team? I'm inclined to say it's the former, that this is a good football team that is doing some things that are self-destructive. And if they can clean them up, which you get what you emphasize, then I think they're going to be still really good. The penalty thing I don't get, because it's not like LaFleur, even last year with a young team, it's not like LaFleur has had heavy penalty teams. Like, you know, Mike McCarthy's teams, for better or for worse, were pretty highly penalized, especially on special teams and those combative penalties that he likes to talk about. LaFleur doesn't have a reputation for coaching undisciplined teams. So I have to think that this is an anomaly that sometime after the bye will get resolved.
Well, Jason, so off of that, because I think the Lions are a better team. I look at that roster, it's better because they've got more stars. They've got more players who are playing great. How many players do you think right now are playing at an A level for the Packers?
So who do you have on your list when you did this little exercise?
McKinney
and Josh Jacobs.
It's tough to do offensive line play, Jason, because I don't know what I don't know. I mean, I think Elton Jenkins is playing well. But, I mean, yes, in terms of, you know, Chewy nailed it. I've got those two, and that's the list.
Yeah, I mean, Tucker Kraft had a bad drop, but I think Tucker Kraft is on that list.
He's playing well. You know, I don't know if he's playing, like, he's not playing at the level Sam Laporta is playing at. He's having a fine year.
Okay. I guess I don't know his numbers off the top of my head. I feel like obviously the last game, nobody was super productive, and yet they still had 411 yards, which is a testament to when you screw up as much as they did, so it doesn't matter how many yards you gain.
28 catches, 376 yards, 5 touchdowns.
5 touchdowns is a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's got to be more than Laporta's got, right?
And yeah. More yards, too.
Yeah, so I'm gonna put him on my list. The issue, this has just been such a strange season to me, right? Like, they're sitting at 6-3, and yet this is the conversation we're having, and I think it's the right conversation. Like, it just feels like they have so much more in them and in front of them than they actually have accomplished, and yet their record is still 6-3. And is that a function of playing some crummy teams? Is that, you know, the Malik Willis saving the season storyline? I'm not sure, but you're right. I don't think they're playing. Like, do you think Jared Goff is playing great?
Yeah.
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 Okay. So I think so too, but if it comes down to a playoff game where, and maybe this is just, you know, those of us that all have a bias against the guy because we have preconceived notions. But, like, the Packers went into that game knowing they had to get him off the spot. They had to pressure him because the guy's completing, like, 80% of his passes because he's getting the ball out of his hand quick and no one's making him uncomfortable. Did they had the one sack that Mosby and Rashawn Gary combined on. And that was it. And they didn't have a whole lot of pressure on him. I'm still of the belief that he is a guy that if you throw off his timing, he is not going to be able to win the big game for you. And maybe I'm wrong.
But, Jason, is that because they have the best offensive coordinator in the league?
Yes. Now, that I would agree with. Like, I've said this a bunch of times. Their biggest personnel transaction coming out of losing the NFC Championship game was the fact that Ben Johnson didn't leave. I just think he is doing a better job than anybody else on that side of the ball. And, you know, I'm not even sure, like, I wanted to praise the defense on Sunday, but I'm not sure that I thought the Lions maybe just knew they didn't have to go up and down the field in those conditions. They just had to make sure they didn't make mistakes, especially after taking the 24-3 lead. But they probably could have put up more points on them if they had really wanted to try to do that and taken the risk to do that. So, I think there's a big space in between the Lions and the Packers? I don't, but I don't know what I'm basing that on, because I don't, to Gabe's point, I don't have a whole lot of evidence that the Packers are as good as the Lions are right now.
Jason, last thing before we let you go, did you get a timetable on Josh Myers' injury? Obviously, he was out against the Lions. Elgton Jenkins, as much as we think he's great at his position, he was not good snapping the ball. I guess I'm just wondering, is the expectation that Josh Myers will be back after the bye, or that we will be working with Jenkins again at center?
No, Josh's expectation was that he was going to play, and they listed him as doubtful. In large part because I think they were protecting him from himself. I really do. Like, he had started 44 straight games. I understand that he has not been, you know, Frank Winters in his heyday, or, well, maybe that's a bad example, too. Mike Flanagan in his heyday, or Scott Wells or Corey Linsley, but he's played some pretty darn good football, and he's been, you know, 44 straight starts was a pretty impressive streak. He thought he could club it up and play, but again, watching him try to put his socks and shoes on, they needed to protect him from himself, and I think he fully plans on playing against the Bears, so I would expect him to be back for that game.
All right, Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Listen to him on Wilde and Tausch and a myriad of programs right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Yes, we have seen the breaking news. We have seen that it is official, Za'Darius Smith going to the Detroit Lions. Does Za'Darius Smith make the Lions even scarier? We'll discuss that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But first, guys, I want to talk about something important. You. You need to feel confident and strong in your daily activities. And at Quintessa Aesthetic Center, it's not just about looking good. It's about results that last and empower you. They've got five locations, Delafield, Mequon, Brookfield, Middleton, and Sheboygan. And at every single one, they have a world-class team of plastic surgeons, clinicians, and estheticians who will help you take control, whether it's skincare, anti-aging treatments, body contouring, or muscle strengthening. Quintessa has everything you need to sharpen your image and boost your confidence. So take the first step towards a stronger, more confident you by visiting myquintessa.com today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas.
They don't work. They're called poop.
They're
really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you. You know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Interesting little carousel we have in the old NFL. Za'Darius jumps off the Packers carousel. Za'Darius goes to the Cleveland Browns. Was there a stop in between, or was it directly Packers to
Minnesota?
Browns? Minnesota to the Browns. Now he's back in the NFC North as he has joined the Detroit Lions. And Chew, I guess I want your reaction first and foremost on this. Is Za'Darius Smith a move that makes them even scarier, or is he at this point in his career just a guy and, in case of emergency, break glass option?
No, it's an improvement. I mean, it's not earth shattering, but you know he's going to have a little extra juice when they're playing Green Bay, because things didn't end well here. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, they're a little better. I mean, they're not. It's certainly not Aiden Hutchinson.
No, he's a second-tier pass rusher, Chew, but he's got five sacks. He can end up in double-digit sacks. Like, he would be instantly the Packers' best pass rusher.
Yes. Yes,
you know,
and
he's actually probably the Lions' best pass rusher. Aiden Hutchinson was doing so much of that for that pass rush. Just having a guy that can get after it, even win. Yeah, and like you said, he's not going to be Aiden Hutchinson, but to get some of those wins, it kind of makes it easier for everybody else around you too.
Yeah, and there's a little extra juice, Jen, when you're playing for a good team as opposed to Cleveland. I mean, you just approach things a little bit more excitable. You're going to have a packed house. You're going to have more national games. The spotlight's on you more. And according to what Jason says about the guy, he loves that stuff. He's motivated by money, which sacks turn into money. So, yeah, I agree with what Gabe said. It is an upgrade for him.
But shouldn't they worry about a attitude issue? Right, there was an attitude issue in Green Bay, obviously, with the captain thing. Didn't feel like they were respecting him. I think Jason has famously said that surgery, question mark? You know, like, I think that stuff doesn't just stop, does it? I know we talk about change of scenery. I know we talk about how some guys just need a different messenger and location and things like that. But I think that they run the risk of him becoming disgruntled. He has that in him to be disgruntled.
Yeah, there is a risk. But when you have a strong head coach like Dan Campbell, who he's not going to walk all over, that concern, I don't think, is as high. And what they traded for him, what was it, Gabe? A fifth and a
fifth-round pick and a sixth-round pick. So it's Zadarius and a seventh coming to Detroit in exchange for a fifth-round pick next year and a future sixth-round pick.
So let me ask you this. If there wasn't the bad blood between Zadarius and Green Bay and he never played here, would you have been okay with that?
100%. Like, if this was, you know, if his name wasn't Zadarius Smith, if his name was Pat Smith, yes, I would have wanted the Packers to make a move like this. 100%. Because he's got five sacks. The Packers' leader is three. Like, he's instantly your best pass rusher. Instantly. And, of course, this was never going to happen for the Packers because, I mean, like Jason said, he quit on the Packers. He 100% did that, so he wasn't going to come here. But if there was another player like that available, you got to go get him.
And there isn't, right?
Correct.
Was he the best of the free agent or the trade block guys?
So the Aziz Ojulari for the Giants, who may or may not be available, has six sacks. But he's also pretty undersized, too. He's only 240 pounds, so he's more of a third down only type guy.
Yeah, that doesn't really fit the 4-3. I mean, that it'll fit the 3-4, but, I mean, do you want a 240-pound guy where they're already not great against the run? Plugging him in? Probably not.
No, it doesn't seem great. Doesn't seem like a way to stop the run.
I'm not turning down any option.
Yeah. Do I think that Jeff Hafley could figure it out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'll trust Jeff Hafley.
Josh, let me ask you this, because this isn't offensive in any way. Yes, thank you.
I've just pre-ribbited you.
Wait, if you hit the ribbit button before he calls you a toad, does it hurt less or something?
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right.
Okay, you're kind of a half-toad, but where are you at as a half-toad after Sunday's game?
I'm not overly discouraged. I think the Lions are right now a better team. I do think the Packers can beat them on any given Sunday, and they have enough talent to do it. I think they're keep shooting themselves in the foot to a degree that will not help them, but I am getting to the point of, I think Gabe said it, where maybe this just is who they are for this year. Maybe they are still just the year away. I'm not overly discouraged by the future or even the rest of the season, but I think there's a lot of things that are like, you guys just have to be better at this kind of stuff so you don't put yourself behind the eight ball. And everyone wanted to say for a long time, Jordan Love's INTs aren't a problem. They are. Big problem. Need to be fixed. Can't be doing the Will Levis stuff.
So is it really just... Are we just really waiting on Jordan? Is that what we're doing?
I think Jordan Love playing 25% better covers up a lot of those holes.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that is the biggest thing holding them back from probably looking even better and putting some of more of those wins are more emphatic. Like, he's just not been like, we point to the drops. There's five or six drops. You call them how you want to. But how many of those were on-target throws? One or two?
Yeah.
Like, those guys aren't helping him, but he isn't helping them either.
What I don't get is I thought at the beginning of the year that the defensive back in the corners were a position of strength.
Yeah, I mean, Stokes hasn't played.
But Jair has to play.
Yeah, that's the big one.
And but
they still are.
What happened to the Ballantyne brothers? I thought they were legit. Was that just a
of
flash in the pan?
Of all the things I throw out there, I can't believe that one stuck.
I mean, where'd they
wish,
go?
What do you wish would have stuck instead in his
Chef's
brain?
Kiss.
No, that was just the worst one of all time.
Oh, that was bad.
That was the worst one of all time.
You know what? I wish football was more like NASCAR, where you could just say the number and the name didn't even matter. Right? Now, I don't even know their numbers, which is a problem.
So you can't even do the thing that you wish that you could do.
I'm going to make it tough. I'm not going to lie.
Obviously, true. They have not progressed the way that the Packers thought that they would. Because that there's a reason that Nixon keeps getting those opportunities on the outside. And I think he's okay. But he can't be... While Nixon has improved from special teamer to slot guy to guy that you can trust on the outside, you can't trust him against a number one. And that's what he had to do. And the fact that they had to shuffle even more things around, two of your top defensive backs were out against the Lions, that hurts even more. Because you had to keep Bullard at safety. You couldn't drop him down the way that you have in the slot the last few weeks.
But there's too many regressions, you know? Like right now, and I know we're halfway through the season, but Jordan Love regressed. Has Romeo Doubs regressed?
No.
No, Romeo's who
Christian Watson's regressed. Christian Watson.
Yeah, hasn't been good.
But again, I will say to Joshy's point about those receptions, I mean, I don't know if he was off or Love was off, but they couldn't connect on either of those deep balls. The one where Christian is like reaching back, and that he's a tall target, by the way. Tall target, and it just like...
Yeah.
I just don't think he knew where the ball was going.
Yeah, the one where he like stopped running and then tried to jump and like, just keep running, my man. Keep running. You got a chance.
Uh-huh.
It was I don't know if like the wind pushed that and it sailed. Who the hell knows? I don't know what the excuse is there. That was
so. Yes, we're saying he regressed too. Then,
Bo Melton regressed. Yes, I mean thought
Bo Melton's a fifth receiver.
I know, but I mean he had some good games last year.
He had a good game last year.
He had good games because he was forced into them. Like, he's playing like 12 snaps a game at this point, which is like hard to ask much production out of that guy.
Wicks is regressed?
Yes.
Yes and no. Like, he gets open.
Correct.
Yeah,
you just got to
catch the damn ball.
Yeah, I understand.
He catches that touchdown pass. Now, granted, it wasn't a great throw, but I mean, it still touches your hand. You're supposed to catch it. Maybe it's a different game. It's just, you're only given so many opportunities.
Yeah.
You got to make them count.
Well, and that's why I'm not that discouraged, because the opportunities were there this past week.
Exactly. That's
and that
how
game
I feel,
goes
Joshy.
Totally different.
Yep.
If you just cut your mistakes in half.
Yep.
You don't even have to play perfect football. You could still get there.
That's still limiting. I mean, that's still asking for a lot.
Yeah,
that's still asking for a lot, Josh.
Yeah, because cutting in half means you have seven less mistakes.
Well, and we can do the math on it, guys. I mean, a bunch of those drops were on third down. Mm-hmm. You move the chains. You keep things going. If you cut the penalties in half, you could argue that, again, you're not working backwards. You're working forwards instead. If you get one botch snap instead of three botch snaps, like, yeah, we could do this thing. And we could say... I could show you X number of yards here, and that's probably a touchdown. And like, but again, that's why I said it was more for me of a bad day. Are there things to sound the alarms on, the interceptions being number one with a bullet for me? Yes. But I chalked it up to more of this is a bad day for a good team than a bad team that showed itself.
Well, but okay, if they've only played one complete game. Like, what are they hanging their head on here, realistically?
I just think comparing it to last year, when at this same point they only had three wins and they were able to start clicking off victories, boom, ba-boom, 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 all the way down, and Jordan Love limited to one interception over the back half of the season. I think that's part of why I am not in panic mode. It sounds like Josh and I are in similar space where we're like, are there things that they need to do better? Absolutely, of course. Nobody's trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes, but I still think there is a lot of optimism surrounding this team. You have a bye, you get healthy, you get your quarterback back closer to 100%, and I feel like that is going to clean up a lot of what ailed you this past week, Chew.
But good, you know what good teams do? What good teams do?
You told us yesterday it's make the opponent look bad.
Don't lose back-to-back games.
It's very simple. You win at home. You win at home. You go 8-0 at home. You go 7-1 at home, and then you lose half of your road games. That's what good teams do. You don't lose to. You don't get trucked by two division opponents on your own turf.
To kind of go back to what we were talking a little bit about yesterday, Chew, I think that's why when you have a lot of guys playing like B players, which I think the Packers do, that's how you can win. You can win a lot of games like that. But the big-time games, Minnesota coming into here, Detroit coming into here, who have some studs, who have some A players, that's when it's tougher to compete with those teams. And those are the teams you're going to have to go through if you want to get to the promised land. So they have to have more guys play like A players. It's that simple to me. And I don't know if they have those A players outside of, I think Jordan can do it. I think Jaden Reed's trending in a good direction, but is he still another year away from fully taking off and becoming a potential number one?
Do you see Rashad Gary turning into an A player?
No.
Quay Walker?
No.
Quay Walker turning into an A player?
Quay is what he is.
I mean, what's Kenny Clark doing?
Hanging out.
It's just like
cash and checks.
You can win games like that. You can't win championships like that. You just can't.
800-990-3776. We were talking about whether or not the Packers are going to make a move at today's trade deadline, by today's trade deadline. Let us know what you think. There's a lot of names floating around out there. I've seen Chase Young on a few articles and even popping off in the YouTube comments as well. We can discuss whether you think Chase Young takes them to another level. Right now, we are watching the Lions, who have added Za'Darius Smith to their defense, and if he makes them even scarier in the second half of the season. It is the season for celebrating at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Join them this holiday season for a special event to get you in the festive mood. They have a spectacular brunch with Santa. They have the holiday marketplace, one-of-a-kind dinner and a show experiences. They've got it all. St. Kate has a celebration happening nearly every week through the holiday season. You can make a night of it as well and extend the experience by booking an overnight stay at St. Kate. Special packages are now available. Celebrate the holidays with St. Kate. Learn more by visiting stkatearts.com/holidays.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, could you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
call
could,
it
like
egg?
An egg? I'm going to try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chamorro household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The 414 says, I don't think the Packers are going to do a damn thing. There's no one really available. I guess Chase Young wouldn't be bad, but the Packers won't do anything. That's my guess. That from Dave in Aaron. Does that align with you, Gabe?
Yeah, I would take, look, at this point, any pass rusher, any defensive lineman that they trade for is going to be an upgrade for the team. I will welcome anyone that they bring in. Now, do I think that it's going to be a huge move that's going to take them to a new level? Probably not, but I would take just about anyone at this point.
Yeah. Chase Young. I mean, would you give a fifth and a sixth for Chase Young?
No, and I don't think you'd have to give up a fifth and a sixth for Chase Young.
What do you think the price tag would be?
Sixth.
Chew?
Sure. I mean, he's not going to make him a Super Bowl contender.
He's not going to make you worse.
I'm wondering more what Lattimore will ask for. But my guess is a bunch of suitors for him. And they would have to overpay. So I don't think they're.
Well, that's what they're saying. Chase Young is a cheaper option, right?
Yeah, Chase Young, super cheap option. Yeah, and the one thing I know for sure, Chewy, the one thing I can guarantee you, Goody ain't going to overpay for anybody.
No. So then what do they do? They get rid of Za'Darius? Trade him if
Preston.
They do get a Chase Young? Or Preston?
Yeah, probably.
Is that an upgrade?
Yeah, I would say it's an upgrade. You're getting younger at the position. Right. More athleticism.
Let's go out to the phone lines, 800-990-3776. Hugh in Waukesha. Good morning, Hugh. What's your suggestion for the Green Bay Packers?
Good morning. I just have a quick question. Does the NFL limit the number of captains that you can have on the team? Because I think it would be awesome if everybody on the team had a seat when they played Detroit.
Oh, jeez. Poking the bear.
I got it.
took Chewy a second.
Slow to the, it's a Tuesday.
I mean, I think they limit the number of people that can come out for the coin toss, but I think if you wanted to put a C on everyone's jersey, I don't think that there would be a rule against that. No.
Which, and again, I like it from like a creative standpoint, but Matt LaFleur ain't doing that, man. Like, Matt LaFleur is not poking the bear. Matt LaFleur is not jumping into conflict. Matt LaFleur is conflict averse.
But what if he did?
Maybe give Preston a little extra treatment. Treat him well if he treated the Packers well.
Give Preston two C's.
Uh-huh. One on each shoulder.
Just let Jair go out there. Unannounced.
Yeah, he's the captain now.
Yeah, that didn't go over well either. Destinations. These are suggested destinations for Chase Young. Philadelphia Eagles would not love that. Again, that's the other thing, and we've talked about this. It's the you don't want one of these players to go to, like Za'Darius Smith, although that was a non-starter, non-option for the Green Bay Packers, to go to a team that you'll have to go through to get to the Super Bowl. Right? Like, I don't want to see the Eagles get any better. I don't want to see some of these other teams in the NFC get any better. On this list, they had the Detroit Lions for Chase Young. They had the Philadelphia Eagles for Chase Young. And they have, scrolling, the Commanders, which I believe Chase Young was on.
Yeah, he was traded from the Commanders last season. Traded away. Look, I think that if... Yeah, with Chase Young, I mean, you could cross the Lions off that list. But yeah, I mean, these other teams in the NFC are looking to get better. I mean, after the Lions, there is a bit of a fall off there. I think there's a gap between the Lions and everybody else in the NFC, and all these other NFC contenders are trying to find a way to narrow that gap, which has just got tougher because I don't know if there's going to be a player that's traded today that's better than Za'Darius Smith.
I think it's interesting that a team we marked for dead in the Arizona Cardinals have gotten a couple wins here and are now investing in improving as well.
They lead their division.
That kind of shows you, where the differences are here and how some of these teams who we marked for dead or thought were going to be great by the end of the season might not be the same thing we thought the first time we saw them.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of stuff to get to in the second hour of the show. Chewy got his Bucks comment in pretty early. Is that going to do it for you, big guy, or do you need a...
No, we need to talk about it.
Gabe does not want to. He doesn't. Jay gave it to me, rolls on right after this.